As you know, a darkness has fallen upon the church once again in the form of scandal that has different dimensions. There is the child abuse itself, there is the cover-up, and there are also the broader issues related to sexuality. You have questions. I have questions. But I'm sorry, I don't have the answers. As your pastor, what I do have is faith and hope. And I would like to address this from the perspective of spiritual and practical reassurance today. But before I do that, I would like to share a few preliminary thoughts with you. I and the other priests of the parish are facing this scandal along with you. Like you, I am feeling different things. I am incredibly angry, sickened, and ashamed about clerical child sexual abuse and those who have been complicit in covering it up. And I grieve and pray for those who have been victimized. While there are many bishops and priests who have committed horrific crimes and sins, the actions of a few do not define all of us as a Catholic community. There are more good people in the world, there are more good people in the church, and there are more good people among the clergy than there are bad. Remembering this gives me encouragement and comfort. Even still, the hierarchy of the church, who possesses the power, has a sacred obligation to deal immediately with those who cause harm, to prevent further harm, to protect our children, to be transparent, and to address the problems we face with determination and effectiveness. We should expect this, and we should demand this from them. And they should be held accountable with serious consequences if they fail. The devil is real. And the devil wants nothing more than to destroy the church. And the devil will use this scandal to try to get people to abandon their faith in God and to turn away from the church. Yes, tough issues have to be addressed and changes have to be made. And that will be done by people other than us. However, on our part, we cannot let the devil defeat us. And that brings me to this message of reassurance. First, there is practical reassurance. Regarding the safety and protection of children, here at Our Lady of Loretto, we have a number of parish procedures and policies in place for every adult who works with children, and that includes the priests. A summary of those procedures and policies was sent out in Flock Note last week, is summarized again in the Flock Note newsletter this weekend, and will be published next weekend in the bulletin. But it's important for you to understand that the adults who work with children in this parish are taught by us about how to spot suspicious behavior and abuse, and how to properly notify those in authority, not just here in the parish, but civil authorities as well. adults who work with children in this parish are instructed not to remain silent. And in the very same way, the Archdiocese of Denver has provided us with age-appropriate lessons for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, depending on whether the child is in the parish school or in our religious education or youth program. Depending on the age of the child, we strive to partner with parents to teach the children the difference between good touch and bad touch, between appropriate and inappropriate behavior. And we teach and empower children to come forward and to speak out, to tell someone if they feel uncomfortable or violated. In that way, the tactics that predators use to manipulate and scare children so that they can abuse them are mitigated. At Our Lady of Loretto, we will remain proactive in promoting awareness, education, and prevention. Second, there is spiritual reassurance. There are many who are wondering why they should stay Catholic. Remember in last week's gospel reading, when many of the believers of Jesus decided to break away from him, Jesus turned to the disciples and asked them, "Do you also want to leave?" Peter replied, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Peter was exactly right. Without Jesus, we have nothing. Without the church, what do we have? Although the structure of the church is necessary, I'm not Catholic because of the Pope and the bishops. I'm Catholic because of my faith in Jesus Christ. I am Catholic because of the good that his church offers me. For example, I am enlightened by the truths of our Catholic beliefs. I am blessed by the practices, the traditions, and the devotions of the church. I want and need the sacraments that the church offers, especially the Eucharist. I have to be in community with others who share my Catholic identity and values. I am Catholic, and I will stay Catholic because of my experience with you here in this parish. Now more than ever, you and I need Jesus, and we need the good that the church offers us. We cannot give up on either one. If we do, the devil wins. If we do, we are left with nothing. I will stay Catholic because I love Jesus and the church. And I believe in both. I will remain a priest because I love the priesthood. And I believe in it. As part of our focus on Jesus and the good things of the church, we must cling to the conviction that God always brings forth good from evil. The cross of Good Friday gave way to the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. In the same way, God will counter this good with evil. God will counter this evil with good. Now, how and when, I don't know. But I do know that God will triumph. Because in Matthew's gospel, he promised, I will build my church and hell will not prevail against it. The church will survive this. And the church will be better because of it. Evil will not have the final say. The divine will. Jesus will make sure of that. We are a parish. We are brothers and sisters. We are a family of faith. And we especially need one another now for encouragement, comfort, and strength. Just as together we are shocked and outraged, and just as together we want answers and actions that will come, so together let us vow not to succumb to discouragement, despair, and defeat. Let us remain devoted to our Catholic faith and its noble purpose. Let us advance the best of who we are and what we practice. Let us be strong in the battle, and let us maintain hope that the victory will come through Jesus Christ. As the clergy, staff, and I endure this crisis with you, we pledge to remain attentive and responsive to your needs in the best way that we can. One example will be an evening of prayer and reflection towards healing and hope that we will have on September 17th. There will be more information about that coming out on Flocknote and published in our parish bulletin. Yes. The church has been enveloped by darkness. But Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, both to expose the sins that need to be repented from and to guide us through the darkness. And that is why, with every fiber of my being, I believe these words of the Gospel of John to be true. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Gracious Father, we come before you hurting. Send your Spirit upon us to heal us. Help us to see your Son, Jesus, as the light that will guide us through this darkness. Give us hope. All this we ask through Christ our Lord.